Thank you for joining Mechon Hadar's learning of Pirkei Avot in honor of our 10th year celebration.
This week's Dvar Torah is by Dina Weiss.
This week's Mishnayot are Perek Dalet, Mishnayot Aleph through Gimel. Chapter 4, Mishnahs 1 through 3. Mishnah Aleph. Ben Zoma Omer. Ben Zoma says, Ezahu Chacham, who is wise? Halomed Mikol Adam, who learns from every person. Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Mikol Milamdai Hiskalti, I have learned and I have gained wisdom from all who have taught me. Ben Zoma continues, Ezahu Gibor, who is strong? Hakovesh et Yitro, the one who is able to overcome their inclination. Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Tov Arach Apayim Migibor, a person who is slow to anger is better than someone who is strong. Umoshel Berucho, and one who is in control of their spirit, is stronger Milocheid Ir, than one who conquers a city. We can see from the proof text that Hakovesh Et Yitro, one who conquers their Yetzer, their inclination, it seems to be someone who is able to be in total control of their emotions. Someone who might have gotten angry and doesn't. Someone who might have gotten frustrated and lashed out and doesn't. Right? It's someone who is Moshel Berucho, someone who is the master of their own temperament, the master of their own spirit. Ben Zoma continues with another question. Ezahu Ashir, who is wealthy? The answer, Hasameach Bechalko, one who is glad, who appreciates their portion. Shene'emar, he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, Yagia kapecha kitochel, when you eat from the work of your hands, Ashrecha v'tovlach, you are fortunate and good for you. And the drasha continues, Ashrecha, you are fortunate, ba'olam hazeh, in this world. V'tovlach, and it's good for you, la'olam haba, in the world to come. And again, we can see from the proof text that hasameach b'chalko, one who is happy with what he has, does not mean somebody who feels that they have everything that they need and they never complain and try to get more. Rather, it means someone who is happy with their chelek, with their portion in the world to come. Person does what they think that they're supposed to do, and they eat from their own efforts, both in this world, contented with what they have in this world, and even more so their chelek, what they get for their effort, their portion in the world to come. One last question. Ezahu mechubad, who is the person who is respected, who is honored? Hamechabed et habriot, the person who respects other creatures, and usually other creatures refers to people. Shene'emar, as it says, Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Ki mechabdai achabed, those who honor me, I will honor. Uvozai yekalu, and those who spurn me, they will be disregarded. We see from Ki mechabdai achabed, I will honor those who honor me, that the order of honor first goes, you honor me, then I'll honor you. So the more honor that you show to other people, the more honor is going to come back in your direction. Mishnah Bet, Mishnah number 2. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai further says, Heve ratz l'mitzvah kala kevachamura. You should run to perform a light mitzvah, a less serious mitzvah, kivachamura, as quickly as you would run to do a serious mitzvah. Uvoreach min ha'avera, and you should run away from sin, because shemitzvah goreret mitzvah, because a mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, va'avera goreret avera, and an avera, a sin, leads to another sin. So even if the first mitzvah or the first avera that you encounter may not seem so significant or may not seem that serious, you have to either run to it or run from it, depending on whether it is a positive or negative thing to do. Because that act does not live in isolation. That act is actually the first step on your road to either a chain of mitzvot or, God forbid, a chain of averot. But Ben Azai isn't finished yet, and he continues to explain, Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah, because the reward of a mitzvah is another mitzvah, Uschar avera avera, and the reward of an avera is another avera. Another way of understanding Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah, that the reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah, is not that it is almost identical to one mitzvah causes the next, but rather that the reward for the mitzvah itself is doing the mitzvah. And the reward, as it were, for the avera itself is the avera. And when you're trying to evaluate, is this mitzvah so important or not so important? Is that avera terrible or is it not that terrible? That's looking at some sort of external calculus, judging by how many mitzvah points or judging by how many punishments I'm going to get. That's how I'm going to evaluate whether or not to do this mitzvah or to do this avera. And perhaps the second clause of Ben Azai's Mishnah is coming to teach us that that kind of quantitative calculus doesn't actually work. Do you want your life to be characterized by mitzvot, that you should try to catch them all? Do you want your life to be characterized by doing averot? No. So then you should avoid them all. Instead of trying to figure out what is the proper calculus, which one is worth more, which one is worth less, look at them from their qualitative elements. The reward for a mitzvah is that you've done a mitzvah. What else do you need to ask about? And the reward, quote unquote, for an avera is that you've done an avera. And there shouldn't be any calculus beyond that. Mishnah Gimel, Mishnah number 3. We continue with the principles of Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma. Hu haya omer, he would say, Al tehivaz l'chol adam, do not dismiss anyone. Va'al tehi maflig l'chol davar, and do not be extreme in any situation. And particularly, I think he's referring to disregarding any situation. She'ein lach adam she'ein lo sha'a. Because there is no person that does not have their time. Ve'ein lach adavar she'ein lo mako. And there is no thing that does not have its place. The best analogy I can think of is adam she'ein lo sha'a. The notion that there's no person that doesn't really have their time is middle school. There are some kids that are really cool in school, and then there are some kids that are really cool at camp. And often, kids who are not cool in school at all have their sha'a, have their time to shine when they're in camp. And you might be a kid that spends all their time reading comic books. And when you're hanging out with the jocks, you don't fit in. But then, when you're hanging out with your comic book friends, if one jock were to come over and try to engage with you, that would not be his time. That would not be his place. So you should be the person who you are, wherever you are, and know that there's always some place where you can shine. In Mishnah Bet, this week, we met Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, who taught us that we should run towards mitzvot and run away from averot, even if the mitzvah seems not so significant or the avera seems not so terrible, because each mitzvah and each avera is the first step on a chain reaction. This one mitzvah may not be that significant, may not seem that important, may not seem like it has a lot of reward attached to it. But if you add that mitzvah to the mitzvah that inspires, to the mitzvah that mitzvah inspires, to the mitzvah that mitzvah inspires, you've really got yourself a tremendous amount of accrued mitzvot. And of course, on the other side, if you are to do one avera, may not be a big deal, but that might be the first step in your life of crime. This notion that a mitzvah causes a chain reaction of mitzvot and an avera causes a chain reaction, a waterfall, a cascade of averot, comes up in connection with another interesting philosophical conversation about the nature of mitzvot and the nature of averot. And this is the concept of avera lishma, the notion that you could perform an avera for the sake of heaven, that there might be some cases where, in order to achieve a more significant end, the ends might really justify the means, and you might be able to perform an avera, which in another context would be completely forbidden, for the sake of something very significant, for the sake of a real, lasting good. The source for this idea that one could possibly violate any part of the Torah for the sake of heaven, for God's sake, comes from Masechet Brachot, Daf Samech Gimel Amud Aleph, on Brachot 63a. Darash Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara teaches, Ezahi parasha katana, shekol gufei Torah tuliyim ba. What is the small passage of the Torah where all of the fundamental principles, all of the real meat of the Torah are dependent? He quotes a pasuk from Mishle, V'chol derachacha da'ehu, know God in all of your ways, v'hu yasher orchotecha, he will straighten your path. Bar Kapara sees in this a promise that if you have a good intention, v'chol derachacha da'ehu, you're always looking to God for guidance in everything that you do, then God will straighten your path. And then Rava comes and pushes this principle even further. Amar Rava, afilu lidvar avera, even in the case of doing a sin. So if you add Rava's statement to Bar Kapara's drasha, what you have is a promise that God will straighten your path as long as you are doing whatever you're doing for the sake of heaven. So it's not only that God is going to sort of subtly guide you into the right way if you have a good intention. It's that even if you do something bad, God will, after the fact, somehow work it out, permit it, if it was for God's own sake. And this is the source of Avera Lishma. God will somehow work out the math. It'll be fine as long as the reason why you are doing this particular Avera is in order to accomplish this greater, more significant, divine goal. And the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on Pirkei Avot, brings this principle into the conversation of a mitzvah causing a mitzvah and an avera causing an avera. He says, L'zeh orilan hatana ben Azai. For this purpose, the Tana ben Azai demonstrates for us, Di'af agav, di'beva bi'atcha avera lishma. Even though you might be in a situation where one of these special averot that you're allowed to do for the sake of heaven comes to you, muchrachata lasota, you might have to do it. Sometimes you're in a situation where you're going to have to be the one to violate the Torah for a greater cause. The Gra accepts that sometimes that happens. Im kolze, nevertheless, lo tarutz achareha levakesh lecha hizdamnut lasota. Don't go chasing after these aver opportunities and try to find these averot that you could do. Ve'adarabba, havei borech mimena. To the contrary, you should run away from it. Ulagabe Torah mitzvot, and run towards Torah and mitzvot. Af shelo lishman, even if you're going to be performing the mitzvot, learning the Torah, not necessarily for the most lofty of intentions. Ubi'er hatam, and he explains that the reason is shemitzvah goreret mitzvah, because a mitzvah causes another mitzvah. Retzono lamar, what he, meaning Ben Azai, means to say, Torah mitzvot, af shelo lishman, even if you're performing these good deeds for the wrong reasons, yavi'ucha sheta'asein lishman, they are going to bring you to the point where you're doing them for the right reasons. Ve avera goreret avera, a sin causes another sin. Rotzelomar, meaning to say, af avera lishma, even if you're doing an Avera Lishma, Im Tarut Achareha, Yivi Achali De Avera Shalo Lishma, Chas V'Shalom. That if you run after it, it's going to do what it does, which is one Avera causes another, and you'll come to the point where you started doing Averot for the best reasons. And then it ends up leading you down this bad path, leading one Avera to the next, one Avera to the next. And here, the Vilna Gaon is really pointing us to the importance of and the centrality of behavior and of habit. Because there's a way to view the world where everything is about my intention, and I can do whatever I want as long as I'm doing it for the right intention. And the Vilna Gaon says, yes, technically it's true that if I'm doing an Avera for the right reason, that's okay. And if I'm doing a mitzvah for the wrong reason, that's really suboptimal. That's really not ideal. But the Vilna Gaon wants you to realize, and what he thinks Ben Azai is teaching us, is that these mitzvot and these averot don't happen in isolation. And we are not always focused on our intent. We can't always summon these great philosophical justifications for doing good or for doing evil. So we have to build ourselves a schedule, a pattern, habits that lead from one good thing to the next better thing, and from that better thing to an even better thing, to the point where we're able to sync up our actions with our aspirations. If we start justifying bad actions with good aspirations, it might be fine at the beginning, but you're setting yourself down a dangerous path. And don't be so confident that you won't start enjoying doing these averot. You won't become accustomed to them, and they won't become what define your life. Even if an Avera Lishma is allowed, if it's permissible, God yasher orchatecha, God is going to straighten your paths and everything is going to be fine, the Vilna Gaon says, do it if you have to, but do not look for these opportunities. You should look to live a life where your good deeds match your good aspirations, and not try to live on the edge where you can do a bad deed and justify it and trust that it's going to turn out okay. Next week's Mishnayot are Perek Dalet, Mishnayot Dalet and Hay. Chapter 4, Mishnayot 4 and 5.
For more opportunities to be involved in our 10th year celebration, please visit mechonhadar.org/siyum. Join us on Thursday, March 2nd for our Siyum celebration, and be a part of our first ever National Shabbaton for March 3rd through 5th, 2017.